The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's April the 30th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the FDA remains in trouble for its lack of oversight. The Teamsters are opposing a pilot program that would allow a couple hundred trucks to cross the border from Mexico and deliver goods internationally. And Greenpeace says an unapproved Herculex variety of corn has arrived at a port in Ireland. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour, and then I'll update you on the latest news from the University of Illinois College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, along with a look at the high price of farmland and whether or not you can actually pencil out a profit at $5,000 an acre. Okay, you know the answer to that one, but I'll tell you why it's still worth buying. And don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on this Monday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May wheat at $4.85 off 15 today in Chicago. July futures were sat down 17 at 4.95 and a half, and September wheat futures at 5.08 and a half, down 12 and a half cents. July wheat in Kansas City, by the way, down 15 and a quarter cents at $4.86 and a half. May corn futures off 6 and a quarter cents, $3.58 the settlement price. July at 3.67 and a half. They finished down 6 and a quarter. In December contract for your new crop down 3 cents at $3.64 and a half cents. May beans at 7.28 and a half, 5 and a half higher. July futures at $7.43, up 4 and a half. In November soybeans, $7.70 and 3 quarters. They were up 4 and 1 quarter. May bean meal futures at $192.80, they're 80 cents higher. May bean oil futures at $33.35 or 42 higher. From the Mercantile Exchange, nearby May feeder cattle today at $109.55, a settlement price a dollar higher. April live cattle, 7.5 cents higher at $97.27.5. And June futures at $94.12.5, 85 cents higher for the day. Lean hog futures at $75.60, up $1.15. From the outside markets, nearby crude oil trading the June contract at $65.80. They're down 66 for the afternoon, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands just about half a point lower at 13.120 for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good Monday afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
The sun is shining and it's 84 degrees outside. I suspect there are planters rolling across much of the Midwest. What do you hear from those you've been talking to?
It's somewhat spotty. It seems the guy in the southern regions are going at it, but here in the central belt, you got to sort of pick and choose. Visiting a lot of producers, it seems like it's going to be maybe Wednesday if we avoid some showers here on Tuesday. This afternoon's progress report as a nation, I think the trade sort of dialed in to see planning progress anywhere from 25 to 35% complete for corn and anywhere from 3 to 5% on beans.
And what would normally be the five-year rolling average, do you know?
We're looking in this 42 to 44% is normal, but when you go back in history, just the last few years has brought that average up. You go more than 5 years back, you're talking just another 5 to 7% increase between the two there.
And we've had some discussions about how many acres can actually be planted in any given week. Have you talked much about that? We're looking at 90.5 million acres or something thereabouts for total corn acreage. and a weekly planting of, say, what, 24 to 32 million acres?
It could be, you know, they have lights on tractors these days, and with a little determination, these guys can put in a fairly big day. Percentage-wise, the one biggest jump we've seen was probably about we planted almost 30-35% of the corn crop in 1 week. But when you start talking percentages, we're a little bit different compared to 75-80 million versus the 90 million acres that USDA is projecting here. So as time goes on here, we'll see how efficient these guys are going to be with these larger pieces of equipment we're looking at versus 4 to 5 years ago.
At this point, given the dry conditions that are really expected, I think we have rainfall in the forecast maybe for tomorrow for a small amount. It's not a very large percentage of the Midwest. Are farmers very worried at all about yield drag at this point, or are they thinking they'll be just fine getting the corn in the field?
At this point in time, depending where your location is, most producers are comfortable with some early May plantings. You start getting past mid-May in here, you know, they're going to be uneasy with it. But with the price of corn where it's at, and with inputs already purchased, and the crop already pre-sold heavily in some areas, they're going to be bound and determined to keep the mentality to plant corn.
So no matter what, it looks like we're going to get corn acres planted, which probably we could have told you in January, I suppose, even if they have to plant for a long time this season.
Basically, yeah. When you go back to the great flood year of 93, we lost a lot of acres. They got it in. They mudded a lot in. We saw preventive planting and so forth, but I think guys are bound and determined to do what it takes to get the corn in. You have a few switchback who are sort of on the edge going to beans, but the mentality there is keep going. You know, if we would happen to get 2 or 3 inches of rain this coming weekend in here, you can maybe see a little jitteriness or uneasiness, yeah. But, you know, as we move along in here, I think the trade's fairly comfortable at this point in time continuing to look at the large corn acres. Price-wise, you know, we'd have to run corn back up to the $4 to encourage him to plant corn, you know, if it continues to stay wet.
Tell me, speaking of price, maybe we better check in on those things. What was the prime driver today in Chicago? It sure looks like the wheat pit took a pretty good beating in the July. They were down 17 cents at $4.95.5.
We saw some pretty good technical selling. The fund sold about 4,000 contracts on the day. Saw some month-end positioning there as they liquidate positions. Fundamentally, the rains in Australia helped alleviate some of the dry conditions there. Main part, though, was European. Weather maps are a little bit more wet than what they were before, so it's going to give them a little bit of help there. We did see the deliveries come in a little heavier than expected, over 3,000 contracts. We'll see what the Kansas Wheat Tour has to show us here this week. That'd be the main event here, is they sort of get a hands-on observation of the western wheat crop there.
And then was that the prime factor in pushing the corn down too? Did the corn just fall with it, and that on the idea that there'd be, you know, decent weather to plant next this coming week?
Well, I think they sort of worked in tandem, but the main factor was is the weather forecast. Their middle of last week, they were looking at some heavy rains this week, and that's not going to materialize. Most of the wet weather is going to stay mainly to the south here, so there's going to be some planting progress take place. And that's what got into it. On the fundamental side, technically, we took out the support levels, those previous lows at 63. There's a lot of sell stops under there that was activated last night and today. Mm-hmm. And also under the 60 area, too. But the market's ability to sort of take out those stops and hold somewhat together sort of somewhat encouraging. Maybe we can try to build a base. But when you look at the technical charts, you got to use the old Fibonacci retracement of 50% back down to the lows we recorded there last fall at that 281 area, and that projects this 355 area is going to be a key objective here over the next week or two.
And so we need to hold that, and part and parcel of that, I suppose, is a pretty good outing in the soybean pit for the day.
Held in there quite well. Beans sort of hung out, not doing a whole lot in the overnight trade and in the early minutes of today's trade, but the beans got some confidence from the sale to Mexico, 210,000 tons, divided 30,000 old crop, and the rest was new crop, and the ability of these November beans to hold this 750, 760 area gave them some confidence to get something going on the upside. And plus, too, the old psychology, if you're going to get corn in the ground, the fear it was would have more bean acres. Well, if that's the case, beans should continue to see less acres than what the trade was looking for last winter.
And when you're looking at the charts on the harvest month for soy, the November contract bumped up against the 100-day and pretty darn close to the 20-day moving averages.
Yeah, if we can sort of build on this basin here, if we can take out today's high, that does argue a run to $8.
Well, that's probably good news. And I did read an $8 mark. I think that was in, what, the January maybe month? I don't remember where that was exactly. But they did touch on that $8 month as you take a look farther out into the futures, at least on the high side. Where did I pick that up? I don't remember which month that was in, just off the top of my head. But that's probably a good sign all in all for the soybeans over the longer term.
Yeah, the November 08 beans are 804. We continue to look at these long-term supply-demand balance sheets. You know, here near term, we got to have ample supplies here, domestic and worldwide. But as you mentioned, as you look on down the road into 08, 09, the supply-demand balance sheet tightens fairly quickly. So there's some long-term optimism. The new crop bids continue to run 30 to 50 cent premium to old crops. So if we don't get a rally in here, I'm afraid these old crop beans could be sold as new crop beans this fall.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Yeah, just after the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with the day with the folks from Chesapeake Energy. Our own Ed Kieser, chief meteorologist here at the station, says tonight in the north, partly to mostly cloudy skies, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms. Elsewhere, mostly clear. Lows will range from 53 in northeastern Indiana to 63 in southwestern Illinois. Tomorrow in the north, says Ed, mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers. In central and southern sections, a mix of clouds, some sunshine, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms during the afternoon. Highs tomorrow from 68 near Lake Michigan to 85 in the south. The extended forecast calls for dry weather expected Wednesday through Friday, except for a few showers and thunderstorms in far southern Illinois and southwestern Indiana. Dave Dickey is here now with all the day's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Connecticut Democrat Rosa DeLauro says she plans to hold a series of oversight hearings over the summer to examine the investigative arm of the Food and Drug Administration. DeLauro, who oversees the House Agricultural Appropriations Subcommittee, favors combining food safety responsibilities spread across multiple departments and agencies into one new super agency. DeLauro says she's concerned about FDA's food safety investigations recently, and unless there is rapid improvement, she says she will zero out the salaries of FDA center directors and heads of offices. The Teamster Union is strongly opposing a small pilot program that is allowing 100 trucks each from the U.S. and Mexico to deliver international freight beyond commercial zones. The pilot program began last week. The Teamster Union says that the Department of Transportation failed to publish an adequate description of the program for public comment. Greenpeace says GMO corn not approved for distribution in the European Union has been found in U.S. shipments. Greenpeace is calling for the EU to temporarily suspend all imports of U.S. ag products. Greenpeace says a U.S. corn shipment to Ireland tested positive for unapproved Herculex R RW59122. The corn variety is made by Dow Chemical Company, Dow AgroSciences LLC, and Pioneer Hybrid International. The European Commission had no immediate comment. South Korea cleared a shipment of U.S. beef from Creekstone Farms for delivery. It's the first U.S. beef to go to South Korea market in more than 3 years due to mad cow disease fears. The beef is expected to be in restaurants within a week. A meat packer in Iowa has also shipped beef to South Korea. It arrived last Thursday. But quarantine officials say it could take up to 18 days to clear customs, as the U.S. meat packer is the same one that sent a shipment last December that contained the banned chemical dioxin. And Brazil says it could hike the country's ethanol mix to its legal limit of 25% after results of a government-conducted sugarcane survey. Results from the survey should be released by the end of May. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, up next, the kickoff of the planting season in Illinois has sparked some news items out of the Ag College on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. I'll update you on the cold weather in April and corn, the black cutworm, and an upcoming livestock and ethanol conference. And then I'll tell you why farmland is a good long-term investment, as long as you don't have to take a loan out to buy it. The last full week of May, the University of Illinois will host a conference on the livestock industry and the impact of renewable fuels. It's subtitled Dynamic Opportunities and Challenges and scheduled for the 23rd and 24th of the month. The purpose is to take a comprehensive look at the impact of using soybeans and corn for fuel production on the size of the livestock and poultry industries and the resulting supply and demand for the related feedstuffs. For more information and to register, visit www.livestockandrenewablefuels.uiuc.edu. Well, in this week's Pest Management and Crop Development Bulletin, University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger comments on the cool, wet spring. He says, and I quote, "As we move as quickly as we can to finish up corn planting and to start planting soybean, we need to remember that damage done with soil compaction or from putting seed into poor seed bed conditions caused by working or planting fields too wet can be damage that affects the crop throughout the year. At some point, it may become necessary to work and plant fields on the wet side because of the delay in planting corn will cause more yield loss than will poor soil conditions. But," Emerson Nafziger says, "we're at least 3 weeks away from that date in Illinois, as of the last few days of April." And finally today, U of I entomologist Kevin Steffi says captures of both armyworm and black cutworm moths have picked up in the state, and that compared with previous years' captures, these are worth noting. He says because a lot of corn went into the ground before the widespread rains, those fields should be targeted for scouting first. The seedlings will be at risk to black cutworm damage. It's important to note that corn hybrids with Herculex 1 insect protection are labeled for control of black cutworm larvae, and he says these hybrids should effectively control young, first and second instars, before they begin cutting. Cruiser 250 and Poncho 250 are also labeled for control of black cutworms, but past experience and some studies have shown that black cutworms are not controlled very well by either product. The price of high-quality farmland in Illinois, or the Midwest for that matter, is about $5,000 an acre. Now, that's historically very high, but has little to do with whether or not it pays to buy farmland, says University of Illinois Extension Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnittke.
Typically, you know, if you look at trying to take farmland returns and pay a loan off on the purchase, it's not worked, at least since the 1970s. There might have been a brief period in the mid-1980s when we saw farmland prices fall substantially when you could have actually said, I can take the return here and maybe cash flow a purchase. We haven't seen that, and that's truly unusual. What makes farmland a good investment is its growth and its in value over time.
So typically, says Gary Schnittke, with the exception of a brief period in the 1980s when farmland prices fell sharply and the farm economy suffered heavily, it has not been possible to borrow money and pay off a farm from the crops produced. So, he says, investing in farmland is not so much different than investing in stock. The value comes in price appreciation of the property over a long period of time.
That's right. And people have looked, and researchers have looked at the risk-adjusted returns to farming and compared them to stocks, and it really depends on the period which you select. But overall, farmland is a good investment, and it's comparable returns to the stock return. So, but you know, the problem with farmland prices is that it takes a lot of money to get in, and you can have periods in which, like the 1980s, when prices decline and they don't come back for, you know, 10, 15 years. So you do have to be in it for the long run overall anything can happen in any given year.
The high cost of farmland and the time needed to make the investment pay off is the reason most farmers expand their operations by renting rather than buying. Although he says over the long run, it would be better for them to make the purchase. It is simply a cash flow problem that usually prevents this from happening. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on WILL AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason. Brian Stark of the Andersons joins us from the Champaign County office. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I swear that I did not intentionally put Farm Credit Services after that story. Although it was a little bit ironic, I suppose.
Yes, of course.
Let's talk about other prices rather than farmland prices and borrowing money. Let's talk a little bit about what's been happening in cash basis right here in Champaign County, please.
Well, cash basis has firmed here recently. Obviously, something that we are normally accustomed to during the planting season as the end user starts to dry up on supplies and the farmers get busy in the field, the basis, at least on the old crop side, tends to show improvement, which we've seen the last couple of weeks, and I continue that, or we foresee that happening or continuing to happen here as we move forward in the month of May as farmers have nice weather to get back in and start planting. So the basis should stay fairly firm here for at least a little while.
How much appreciation have we had in the corn market?
Oh, in fact, probably a nickel to 7 cents. We'd be probably rallying here in the basis side nearby in the last 2 or 3 weeks. The market just seems to want to pull some of the old stocks back into the pipeline as it starts to run empty. So I imagine that we'll continue to see that as the end user. In fact, up there on the river late last week, we saw some pretty good receipts. Normally accustomed, you wouldn't see it during this time of the year, but that just kind of gives you an indication that when the rains hit, farmers went back to hauling some of their grain.
And tell me about the difference between how the basis pulls grain out of the hands of the farmer and then maybe how it pulls grain out of the hands of the commercial.
Well, I think obviously from a standpoint, the basis probably doesn't have as big of an impact, say, on the farmer in the short run because they're based on a set calendar, and if it's dry enough, they're going to be planting. But from a commercial standpoint, obviously the basis has a lot to do because that's where our margin's based off of. So obviously a more appreciation of the basis is going to affect the commercial looking at liquidating at profitable levels relative to carry versus a basis looking at, you know, for farmer, they're more flat price animals. So, yes, it's going to help them consider selling, but more impact as far as liquidation from a commercial standpoint.
And your bids for the day, please?
We are 348 for cash corn. Fall is 339.
Cash beans 707 and fall 746.
We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Caterpillar Incorporated says a laptop stolen this month contained current and former workers' Social Security numbers, as well as banking information and addresses. Peoria-based Caterpillar declined to say how many of its roughly 95,000 employees were affected, but has set up a call center to answer questions. A letter sent to employees says somebody stole a computer earlier this month from a repair shop in Georgia. The laptop belonged to another company that does benefits work with Caterpillar. The company doesn't believe any data has been accessed or used so far. Martin Cohen is a regulatory expert who spent years advocating consumers' needs to state lawmakers and policymakers on electric rates and other important issues. Cohen, though, is taking a more hands-off approach on the fiery electric rate debate as Governor Blagojevich is director of consumer affairs. The former head of the Citizens Utility Board says he's working behind the scenes on a long-term solution for the state's electricity needs, but he says it's up to lawmakers if consumers see more immediate relief. The administration has balked at calls for intervention from consumers and lawmakers to end an ongoing legislative stalemate on soaring electric rates. Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn even says the governor should call a summit and have Cohen lead the discussions because of his expertise. Indiana's governor says he'll sign a new $26 billion state budget. Governor Mitch Daniels says he'll also sign bills to increase the cigarette tax to fund health initiatives, restructure property taxes, and authorize slot machines at horse racing tracks. The General Assembly adjourned last night. Former U.S. Senator Carol Mosley Braun says she's thanking the two University of Chicago students who came to her rescue during a mugging. Braun also expressed gratitude to their parents and says they clearly raised their children right. Abraham Lincoln didn't get much respect from Illinoisans in this particular vote. Today, the State Bureau of Tourism announced its Seven Wonders of Illinois promotion, which the public began voting on in February. Nowhere on the list is anything to do with the nation's 16th president, not his home or the building where he gave his House Divided speech, or even his final resting place. The winners include five nature sites, including Monticello's Allerton Park, as well as a temple and a baseball stadium, Chicago's Wrigley Field. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on WILL. This is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Usually on Mondays, the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. It seems they're out of their office, probably enjoying a beautiful day in downtown Chicago. We do have Ed Kieser's forecast for the two-state region. Ed, of course, our chief meteorologist here at the radio station. He says tonight, across the two states, in the south, rather in the north, partly to mostly cloudy. A few scattered showers and thunderstorms elsewhere, mostly clear. Lows will range from 53 in northeastern Indiana to 63 in southwestern Illinois, says Ed. Tomorrow in the north, mostly cloudy. A few scattered showers in central and southern sections. A mix of some clouds, some sunshine. That'll be scattered showers, too, and thunderstorms during the afternoon. Highs tomorrow from 68 near Lake Michigan to 85 in the south. The wind speeds 12 to 24 miles an hour. And the minimum afternoon relative humidities ranging between 45 and 55% for the day tomorrow. The extended forecast for Illinois and Indiana, dry weather expected Wednesday through Friday, except for some showers and thunderstorms in the far southern part of Illinois and southwestern Indiana. And some scattered showers and thunderstorms may return this coming weekend.
Think of WILL as a car, a really big car. Every day we drive you to music, news, history, science, nature, and much more. But our engine can't run without your financial contributions. We're raising $2.1 million for WILL radio and TV, and our fuel gauge shows the tank is now 65% full. Help fuel the programs you value by writing a check to UIF Friends of WILL and mailing it to 300 North Goodwin Avenue, Urbana, 61801. Thanks.
And thank you for listening to WILL AM 580 Agriculture. We appreciate you being along with us this afternoon. Be careful out there in the field. Once you get started planting again, make sure that you take some time for yourself.
I know it'll be a hurry once you put that planter back in the ground, but we'd like you to be safe all season long. On behalf of Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations, I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, wishing you the best of planting seasons.